Welcome into Open Gym here on Texas Sports Unfiltered. Myself, Patrick Davis, alongside Matt Glatson of Texas Longhorns on SI. And of course, you, the third member of Open Gym. Text lines open 512-222-9328. And of course, over there on the chat, Facebook, Twitch, X, and on YouTube. Matt, it has been another day of maybe some unexpected entries and maybe some other some names coming out that are not that Texas were targeting, and those names are going back to school where they're coming from, and maybe not the Wednesday that on Tuesday when we wrapped up the show we were hoping for. We're hoping for some positive news, and that maybe wasn't there. But Matt, are you still at a 10 in your confidence level?
Yes, I am.
Okay, he's holding.
I know everybody wants to freak out and and you know be all doom and gloom. I mean, the here's the simple fact of the matter: Texas isn't recruiting against UCLA and Western Michigan and all this stuff. It's really hard to lure guys away from big time schools like Florida and Michigan. They also have a lot of money, and they have relationships, and they have all the things that you have for the most part. And, you know, you lose battles sometimes. I don't think that there has been a big loss that Texas has been in a battle for that's in the transfer portal that has gone to another school so far that I can think of. Will there be some? Yeah, absolutely. There's still other names out there that they're going to be very in on that probably haven't been reported yet. Jordan Washington entered the transfer portal today, which kind of sucks, but you know, he also had four drops this past season. You got Nick Townsend, you got the new guy from Michigan State. You're going to be okay there. Got some good news last night. You got the corner from Rutgers, who's a really good player. You got Derek Williams back, who's a really good player. I think Texas is going to be in on some guys, like I said, that have entered the portal names have not come out yet. The Wisconsin guard that entered the portal. It's kind of funny that happened immediately when the Michigan guard decided he was going to go back to school. So maybe you could read the tea leaves there a little bit. There's a safety that entered the portal from Georgia, who's a really natural fit for the star position in Will Muschamp's defense, which I'll be happy to get into in a little bit. There's a running back that hasn't entered the portal yet that I'm hearing is looking for more carries that Jabbar Jalouk is connected to. I won't reveal his name, but there's still lots of options out there. So, also the Vanderbilt wide receiver is visiting Texas, and that's a big deal. Trey Richardson, yeah, Joseph. Jacarius Peak is a Texas target as well. He's a really good right tackle. So, lots of stuff still going on out there, and there will still be more losses, I think, from this freshman class that we didn't expect. So it's a crazy time. College football is collapsing, and I kind of hate it, but it is what it is.
Yeah, and I mean, it is, because the Bo Barnes news was probably the biggest piece, because Jordan Washington sucks, because that's a guy that you were hoping could keep improving and be a part of it and continue to grow. And he's another one kind of like Parker Livingston to me, or some of these other guys, where you go, look, I get we can upgrade that position still. There's other guys. He's not a top 10 guy in the portal right now, but he's our guy, and he was part of our development, and you want to develop these players for longer. You'd like to be able to keep them. Again, I'm not in these conversations about how crazy different the money they want is. I'm not in the conversations of where you're going to be on the depth chart, because those are both big, big pieces of what a player is thinking for their future. And we know Christian Clark and KJ Lacy are currently in talks as well. There's a lot of young players, because they didn't start to get to that class until now. So now we're starting to see some younger guys. And it's the issue from the beginning that worried me when I saw the trend of some players that you wouldn't think would normally go in the portal. So when we saw a couple names that I didn't think would be in the portal in there, the concern was, does Texas have a real gauge on the market? Do they have a real gauge on what championship players are in the market? And I still don't know if they do. I think they have a market of a lot of players, like a lot of very talented players. I think they have a good market rail on that. I don't know if they have a market on the top 5 or 10 at each position. I don't know if they have that market. Like, because I think they think well, technically you can't build a good team with this amount of money and spending it that wildly. You can't build a team that way. That is the way they're thinking, which is true in the landscape of what morally we would all like college football to be. However, I mean, we saw Mark Cuban come out today and go, I just wrote a check to Indiana to make sure they can spend more money than they want to spend so they can continue to be a good team. And Texas, again, you keep hearing, we have more money than anybody but the Catholic Church. It's the line you'll always hear. And right now, every agent is coming to Texas saying, you guys got the money, let's show it up. And it has been basically, well, we're not going to overpay. Okay, bye. That's end of conversation. We're not going to overpay, bye. And Texas isn't ending the conversation. Texas says, we'll negotiate. But as soon as they say what your number is, we're not meeting that, players are walking away. And it's a different landscape. And you can lose some of these battles, but you can't lose them all. There's still a lot of time in the portal. They have not lost all the battles yet. But we have seen how things are going, Matt. And this is why I want to pose this question to you. Because old school logic was, you wait, you want to be the first team they meet with in the portal. You want to be the first team because then you didn't let them off campus, right? You want to be the first team to come out and try and go after these, the free agents, for lack of a better term, but these student athletes who are in the transfer portal, you want to be the first team. You don't want them to get another visit. That has not been the trend for anybody in this market this year. So I pose this question to you, Matt. Did Texas come in with the wrong approach? Do you want to be the first visit or do you want to be the last visit? Because so far, a lot of people have used Texas to get more money from where they wanted to stay. And that is all they've used Texas for. Who knows how serious they were about coming, but they used Texas to get more money and they got it. And they're going back to where they're at. Texas has been used for that a few times now in the portal. Now, we haven't lost everybody. It's not all doom and gloom because there's still a lot of people out there. But we've seen that, and maybe is there a reason you don't need to be the first visit anymore because decisions aren't being made like that?
Well, I think that if you're talking – I think probably what you're referencing when you talk about this is the two Michigan kids, Guarnera, or however you pronounce it, and Sproug. I mean, look, I don't know that being the first visit or being the last visit truly matters when it comes to a big a player that is truly coveted, because at the end of the day, everybody's probably going to make relatively the same offer. Some are going to be a little bit higher, some are going to be a little bit lower. There might be one that is just an absolute, you know, game breaking offer, like Texas Tech usually does with their oil tycoon. But at the end of the day, there's a lot more decisions that go into it than, oh, this team's going to offer me $900,000 and this team's going to offer me $800,000. But I feel like I'm going to get developed here and have a better chance to go to the NFL and make more money in the future. Plus, they can also set me up with other, you know, opportunities in the NIL and the city. And like, who am I going to be playing with? Are those players going to make me better? There's a lot that goes into it. So, like Cam Coleman, for example, I know this is the hot button issue that everybody keeps bringing up because he visited Texas first and then he goes to Texas A&M. Now he's at Texas Tech today and he's probably going to be going to Alabama later in the week. I think if you stack up everything that all four of those schools have to offer in terms of what's going to make him, you know, the most money, what's going to prepare him more for going to the NFL, give him the highest opportunity to get drafted high in the NFL. I think it's pretty clear that Texas is the best option in a lot of those regards. Maybe they're not going to offer him as much money as Texas Tech, but Texas's track record with transfer wide receivers and just wide receivers in general over the last few years should probably tell you that if you go to Texas, you have a good chance to get developed and go play at the next level. Plus, you're clearly playing with the best quarterback out of that group. Which will also help you tremendously in your NFL draft stock. So, you know, I get the question and I get the idea. I think that this stuff is a lot more complicated and there's a lot more, you know, interweaving and things that go on beneath the surface than simply this school is offering this much and they're using us as leverage because we had the visit first.
No, I agree with you. And look, for each person, it's different. Some kids do not care about anything but the money. Some kids care way less about the money. It's for each kid, it's going to be different of, you know, how much is it that you want to play for a coach that you like and that you think the offense is going to be fun, the defense is going to be fun. How much is it? Does it fit to my skill set? How much of it is, getting a degree? How much of it is the community and you can have there? There's a lot of different pieces that go into it for different players. But when we look at Jaden Ball, when we look at the Michigan kids, when we look at some of the others that maybe we've seen, Isaac Brown, we've seen of just already in this portal, who are guys that Texas was heavily rumored around, and then they got to go. All of those pieces of development, of where you want to be, the school, all that stuff, they decided they liked all of that when they went there to begin with. And the reason why they started to go out was maybe there's greener pastures and Texas pastures weren't green enough. And that's the reality of whatever reason they weren't green enough, they were not green enough to make somebody make that other decision. And so that's where the concerning part is of just wanting to make sure that you don't get left behind, because every day you're missing out on somebody, your percentage of messing this up goes up. You still haven't messed it up, but your percentage goes up. It's the same concept of if you're in the NFL and you drop your first three games, it doesn't mean you can't win a Super Bowl, but it means your odds are a lot lower. Texas is at 0-1 and they're down at halftime right now. Or maybe they're tied at halftime right now. I wouldn't even say they're down at halftime in game two, but they're not in the place where you want to be, which is up, you know, won the first quarter, won the first game, and you're up already. So they can still make a full recovery. It's still early in the game. There's all the positives that can happen. It's just, you still have to look at it and go, are you guys playing right? Because I don't think there is any program who knows how to play this correctly right now. I don't think there's, like, these are not simply Texas problems. We're talking about them from Texas since, but we're seeing this all over the place. We're seeing plenty of other schools that are freaking out because they thought we had great offers that were going to bring people in. And they're right now behind the eight ball on some players and having more players jump into the portal. We've seen that over and over again. So that's where we start to get into, for Texas, can you be ahead of the curve or are you behind the curve? And right now, I don't know if they're ahead of it. And that's where you're like, it feels like you got played a little bit by some guys that may have, you know, maybe wanted to see it, what the program was and everything else. But when we're talking about over and over and over again, if the top targets in the portal using you and other schools to get leverage and then returning and getting paid, you kind of say, all right, that's there. And then when you start to lose some young guys and you lose some veterans and you just everywhere, the attrition on the team is worse than it's been in years past. Part of that is the model of portal has just gone up and up and up. But you can't say we want to rebuild this team and get better and go to try and be a top level team and go, we need to be better next season and just replace players and hope that you hit right. Now I've been from day one. You got to develop guys. That's the key factor. You have to develop your players because that's why the coaches get paid millions and millions of dollars, is to develop these players. And that's why there's so much budget in that world. So whoever you get, you still have a decent shot because I do believe we have a very good developing staff. But you also don't want to get the reputation that Texas is not going to pay and that Texas is going to have problems of going with what the market is. You just don't want it. I don't think we're there yet, but we're closer to it than we were a week ago.
See, I don't even know that that's true. And I see where you're coming from on that, and I understand how people might get that idea. But I don't think it's a matter of, you know, Texas isn't going to pay you or they're not going to pay you as much as the next guy. I just think they're trying not to get bent over a barrel because by these agents who are asking for exorbitant amounts of money. And I think that that's why a lot of these players, you know, maybe not Cam Coleman because he's going to command a high price no matter what. But some of these younger guys that have walked out the door or are planning to walk out the door, like I've heard that Texas offered a guy a new NIL deal, and then he turned around and asked for more money and they agreed to it. And then he turned around and said, no, actually that's not enough. Like you're not going to get into battles like that. If you're Texas, you're going to say, fine, walk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like we, I think that bringing in experience to replace these younger guys that are walking is also okay. Like Jordan Washington's a very talented player and I would love to have him back on the roster, but I don't know that he's worth, you know, getting upset over because he decides that he wants to go make more money somewhere else. And you don't think that he's worth that kind of money. And yeah, is it unfortunate that you thought that you had a chance with Jaden Ball and he never ended up entering the portal, and same with Isaac Brown, and they probably used the interest that was surrounding them to get more money? Yeah. But the fact of the matter is they never entered the portal, because what they probably did is they said, hey, I'm going to enter the portal unless you give me this. And then their agents leaked out like, oh, you know, they're interested here. And maybe there were some conversations behind the scenes that we're not aware of. But, you know, it's using just the interest rather than using Texas specifically as leverage. And I don't want people to think that Texas is walking out there with a $20 bill while everybody else is walking out there with a $100 bill. That's not the case.
Yeah. No.
I think they're just being a little bit more meticulous about the way that they do things. And I think I brought this up earlier in the week. Maybe it was last week. I think it was on Monday, though. This is very similar to Texas football recruiting under Steve Sarkisian. Like, not everything happens all at once. And they take their time, they build the right relationships, and they make the right connections, and they do their homework, and they find the right guys. And then eventually you look up, it's like, oh, we have a top five class. And I think that that's probably the same thing that's going to happen here. It's just, you know, it's really difficult when every player that you're wanting to go after right now is also looking at Texas A&M and Alabama and Ohio State, because they're really freaking good players. And you got to win some of those battles. Yep. I think today they're going to win a battle, maybe two, that might calm people down a little bit. And there's going to be more that comes in the future. But I really don't think that people are using Texas as leverage. I think people are using every offer that they're getting as leverage, and it's not Texas specific for these players.
I agree with you on that 100%. Because I don't ever want to make this seem like it's a singular problem that Texas is getting so far left behind. Because I've seen the stuff of the Clemson conversation and being like, oh God, we're going to be like Dabo, and we're pretty far away from where Dabo is. We're still spending a very good amount of money. I think the issue where I'm questioning it more, and I won't even say I'm fully on this boat, but the question is, if you say this is your number of this is the budget and this is what we're going to do, and we have to build a team within this budget, and you realize the market does not allow you to build that team, are you willing to be able to be more malleable with that number? And find a way to make the phone call to get the next little NIL and get that next person in and get a couple more pieces that you really, really need to be able to compete? Or are you going to get left behind the other teams that are? And just hope that, man, I hope that our player development and our coaching surpasses the fact that we are not a top five, top 10 talent level team right now, because we know other teams are going to go out there and spend the money. Now, like, you look at Oregon. We know Oregon has delivered a ton of talent over the last few years because they have been spending more with NIL because they are tied to Nike, and it makes it really, really easy to do more NIL deals that way. We know that they have had up and down years. It is not a success rate. They have no national championships either from this model. So it's not like it's a automatic, here's a pass to a national championship to spend more money than everybody else.
Hello, it Texas is also, Tech, who just got shut out.
Yes. I think on the flip of that, how far can you push back on that before you become, well, we're still going to lose to those top teams and we're still not quite in that conversation? And I think the one thing that is a little bit different for Texas and probably Texas Tech now and a little bit of Texas A&M and you know, maybe Alabama and Georgia even, is players when they come here and when agents talk to these schools, there is a thought of, you should be able to blow away any other offer I get. So if I've got an offer from Florida State, you should be able to blow that away. And that's the thought process. Whether that's right or wrong, I think they're dealing with that a lot of a guy coming from Louisville going, all right, this is what Louisville offered. And they, you expect, you got Texas money. These guys got Louisville money. You don't think, I think you could triple what they pay me and it wouldn't hurt you a bit. And that's crazy. That's not a real way to think. But I think agents and players at points are going in that route when you come there. And I think that is a more singular problem to probably five or six programs that you guys, and maybe Ohio State's in that too, of like programs where you just go, you guys are supposed to have more money than everybody else, so why don't you give it to me? And that's a different world you have to negotiate at being from Texas right now.
Oh yeah, absolutely. There's a stigma that comes along with, well, you're Texas, so you should be able to pay me $10 million. You know, it's always talked about as one of the richest programs in the country, more resources than anybody else, all this, that, and the other. It doesn't really work like that at the end of the day, because it's not all the universities that are paying this money for these players. I mean, look at Texas Tech. They have an oil tycoon, you know, pushing out millions of dollars and helping the program right now to a level, an unprecedented level. Mark Cuban just cut a big check for Indiana. Like, do we want Michael Dell to wake up and be like, hey, here's $30 million for players? Like, yeah, probably, sure. But it's not that, it's not as simple as everybody makes it out to be. I know that we live in a world of instant gratification as well. And, you know, people see Texas A&M going out and they have like 12 commits right now.
Yeah.
And they have to rebuild their entire offensive line. Who are the two teams worse than Texas in the SEC and running the football last year? LSU and Alabama.
LSU, okay.
Who has Texas A&M reloaded their offensive line with? And probably South Carolina as well was worse than Texas. I'd have to look at the exact stats, but they weren't very good offensive line. Who has Texas A&M reloaded their offensive line with so far? Two LSU players, an Alabama player a few minutes ago, and a guy who graded out at a 16.8 PFF grade against LSU when they played South Carolina. I don't know that I would want to go just get four offensive linemen because they played in the SEC and didn't perform at a very high level just to say, oh, okay, we've rebuilt our offensive line. So it's there's a lot more nuance to all of this than I think people realize. And,
oh, of course.
And listen, like when the Wisconsin guy entered the portal, it became pretty obvious that, you know, Texas was going to be in on that. From the jump. And he's a good player. I don't know that Texas is going to necessarily go all in on him, or maybe they will. It depends on kind of what they want to do, because he's an incredibly good pass blocker. He's not very good in run blocking comparatively.
Yeah.
So is that something you want to bring in, or is it just something you're kicking the tires on? I don't know.
Yeah. And like I'll address here, Chris Logan in the chat talking about guys in the portal. I don't think that there are many, if any, that would start day one. So on that, there's, first of all, there will be some more people that get in the portal, but also a big, big part of portal action, and this is why it gets really scary, is that you have to get into scouting and you have to find guys that maybe were underused or maybe a backup somewhere else that you believe is going to be a really good player. Again, you can't ever look at any scouting site's great, you know, star grade. And they're wrong a ton. They're right a ton. They're wrong a ton. So you have to be able to look at it from a objective personality and trust that the Texas scouting department is finding the right pieces. And Matt, you'll get this. Q'n Lacy from Ole Miss, coming from Missouri, was not thought of as, oh, this is going to be one of the best running backs in the SEC next season. I thought this guy's going to be a good player for us, but, you know, he'll come in and he won't necessarily be the guy in the SEC next season. He turned out to be probably the best back in the SEC this season. And so, like, sometimes you hit on a guy where you go, he's a good player, and he's going to be part of it, and all of a sudden that guy works out perfectly. Or you can be on the flip of that and get somebody you think is going to be great, and he turns out to be not just be able to play at your level. So you never know. There's always guys that come up and move up a level and can, but not always.
Yeah, and also, you know, if Q'n Lacy was at, you know, LSU or Alabama or, you know, just in a completely different offensive system than he's in with Ole Miss, would he be as successful? Probably not.
Yeah.
I think that it also matters what players, what types of players you're finding for your specific system and your style of play and the things that you want to excel at and do well. That's why you can't just say, you can't go look at the On3 transfer portal rankings and say, oh, here are the top 10 running backs in the country. We need to go get one of these guys.
Yeah.
It's skill-based, it's traits-based, it's scheme-based. There's so many different things that go into it more so than just, you know, oh, this guy ran for 1,500 yards last year at Jacksonville State. Let's bring him in here. He'll be able to run for 2,000 because we're Texas. It's like, that's not how it works.
Yeah, and Chris, you're right. Yeah, Hero Canoe is a guy that, you know, we all thought was like, oh, that'll be a good addition. He'll be kind of just in the mix. And he turned out to be really, really good. It was a great scouting. And I mean, it helps that you're picking a guy from Ohio State where you know they have really good scouting as well. So you're like, there's a reason why they wanted him. And we know you, there's easier ways to go about it, but that's a, yeah, it's a perfect. So you never quite know, but that's why you have to trust the scouting department. It's just not as much fun because we're not able to know this until they get on the field next season. So once you get them, you're in a crapshoot and then you just hope you hit. And that's to where I go with Johnny Jackson is, you know, talking about, you know, players holding Texas hostage. It's not holding Texas hostage, but there's a line between where we feel comfortable paying a guy. Where's that level? And where do we feel we can be if we don't want to pay that amount of money? Because for Texas, the standard is the standard. You're trying to win a national championship. And at some point, if you go, well, the market is these guys want to get paid this amount of money and I can't get another player at his level if I don't pay it. I can pay somebody less than him, but we'll be a worse team. That's the level they're having to walk right now. And that's why you're paying some guys and some other guys are getting let go because you're trying to walk that line and self-scout and find it out. And it's just really scary because, again, until we get back on the field in, what, 6-8 months now? 9 months, something like that, we're not going to know really how many of these are hits or misses.
Yeah. I mean, look at Jaden Ott. Everybody thought he was hot shit coming into Oklahoma, and he ended up not doing, being able to do anything. And you already talked about Kawan Lacy. People are like, all right, he'll be the second, third string running back at Ole Miss because they just got a guy from LSU.
Yeah.
He ends up breaking the school record for rushing touchdowns. And was a fringe Heisman candidate. Like it's there's a lot of different things that go into to the evaluations and all the different minutiae of the transfer portal. The unfortunate thing too that's happening, like specifically with the younger players, is they're just like, okay, we're living in a day and age where I should get paid more money because everybody else is getting paid more money. Yes. So if you don't think that I should make this much money, then I'm going to go somewhere else. Which is what's probably happening with Jordan Washington, which is what happened with Parker Livingston, which is why they're having to even talk about negotiating with KJ Lacy and Christian Clark and Elijah Barnes. Like, it's just all, everything's upside down and it's frustrating and it shouldn't be this way, but it is because they haven't put any clamps or guardrails on this NIL and transfer portal situation. So until they do that, this stuff's going to continue to happen. And, you know, Sooner Cowboys, I'm very happy for you that you got a Parker Livingston jersey, but if he doesn't get number one wide receiver targets and doesn't get paid $1 million next year, he's probably going to walk.
Well, you know, he's going to get 7 balls from John Mateer, sail 50 yards over his head, and he's going.
Yeah, it's just what happens these days. Like in any other era of college football, when we watched Elijah Barnes play really well in a bowl game, we're like, wow, we can't wait to watch him play next year. We don't even have to worry about him leaving because he hasn't done anything on the field. That guy played in one game, and he's already trying to negotiate a contract. KJ Lacy had, like, a couple of pass attempts, and he's renegotiating his NIL deal. Like, where are we in this space where any of this makes sense? It doesn't, but that's just what it is now, and it's a free-for-all, and it sucks.
Yeah, and I mean, and some of this, the renegotiations happen with everybody. It's just easier that some people walk in and they go, here's the number, and they go, okay, and that's it. And, you know, it's much easier than other people where they go, like, the same way. If you walked into your boss to get a raise, and you walk in and you think, boss calls a meeting, it's your year-end review, and he comes out and he goes, we're giving you a 1% raise, and you thought you were going to get a 3% raise, you'll be like, hey, man, dude, I did well. Like, what did I do wrong to not get a raise when everybody else around me is getting them? Is that right? No, but that is the way it is. And that's the way the landscape is right now. So I'm not blaming necessarily the players as much as the system and everything else, is that it's rough. And I'll say this. I'm not good with our current roster right now because we don't have an O-line and we don't have any linebackers, but I think we will get them back. I trust that we will get them back, but it is where it's at. And then you talk about how crazy things are. I mean, you look at the Damon Williams situation. That Damon Williams re-signs with Washington, says, all right, I'm coming back for another year, and then miraculously a few days later decides, apparently completely just divine intervention, no tampering, decides that he is no longer okay with that contract, wants out of that contract, and wants to enter the transfer portal. He has signed a paperwork. He agreed to a revenue sharing deal. He is under contract with the University of Washington in the new revenue sharing. And he is saying, I don't want to do that. Dragging into a legal lawsuit where Washington's now kind of screwed because they're like, if we win, we get a quarterback who doesn't want to be here and a fan base who hates him. And we're still owed him all that money. And it's just kind of screwy all over. And so he's out there. And then, of course, there's allegations of what school would do it. Shocking which name it would be under. Not shocking at all, Matt, which name it is. But we know LSU and Lane Kiffin are, of course, in it. The story of Lane Kiffin and that news breaking while he's at a LSU game with Sam Leavitt is peak Lane Kiffin. Just already Lane Kiffin at a game with the top transfer portal quarterback apparently not going well enough, and so they're trying to get another guy to jump back into the portal is just insane. But they, like, when you know now, you're like, even if a guy says he's coming back, that doesn't mean he's coming back now.
Oh, of course. Like, it's a free-for-all. And I guess Lane Kiffin's just trying to break the system even more, because that should be like Washington should take LSU to court, because that's egregious. Like, he just signed a new contract and you're trying to get him to break his contract and enter the transfer portal to come join you.
No, I mean, so 100% they're going to try and basically, this is as silly as it is, they're going to try and sue the quarterback. And not necessarily to do anything to Damon Howard or Damon Williams as much, but to get legal right to look at his text messages and to be able to get the legal rights to go in and be like, who are you contacting and who's telling you to do this? Because if we can find that out, then we can find out what team is in the port, what team's telling you to jump. And now we'll be real. I don't think Lane Kiffin in any world is dumb enough to be within 100 miles of actually being the one to contact this kid. But LSU could still get in trouble for it if it's LSU. Lane Kiffin will be walk away scot-free. I had no idea what's happening. I was at a basketball game with Sam Leavitt. No, I had no fingerprints on this. But the rest of the people who did contact him and reach out will end up getting punishment and show causes and everything else if it does indeed go to court and go into that. My guess is it'll end up being settled outside of everything because basically the school that went after him is now going to be like, you need to get the hell out of this. Like, this is bad, bad. We're about to get us, like, so multiple people in a lot of trouble.
It kind of reminds me of, like, the Jaden Rashada thing. Like, he committed to Florida, then sued the school because they didn't give him all of his like NIL money up front or something. I mean, I don't know the exact details of it, but he sues Florida. Then he transfers to, or he gets out of his NLI, goes to Arizona State, transfers from Arizona State to Georgia, transfers from Georgia to Sacramento State. Now he's back in the transfer portal. And all of it is just an attempt to money grab. And like, that's all that's happening right now in college football, whether it's the Damon Williams thing where he's already signed a new deal and now he's trying to get out of it, or if it's, you know, Jaden Baugh using the interest to raise his NIL value, or Isaac Brown or whatever, or if it's Elijah Barnes, who played in one football game at a real level, like at a real clip. And now he's all of a sudden he's like, oh, I'm worth more money. I know that I am, even though I played in one game. Like, no, it's all absolutely absurd.
There's also reports that Muschamp, he hadn't talked to Muschamp or anybody yet, which I also seem, that seems crazy, like that he hadn't talked to the new regime yet, which that sounds weird because it's still Nansen who'd be his linebackers coach. And it's like,
yeah, I find that hard to believe.
So I find it hard to believe, but you know, that's that people reported it. And Randy and Matt, you can correct me if I'm wrong. I do not believe that Kiffin is still getting money from Ole Miss for the wins. I believe as part of his LSU contract, LSU is giving him the incentives for the wins.
Yeah, I believe that's correct. He's getting the money from LSU, not Ole Miss.
Yeah, that basically part of the deal was, we will pay you whatever you would have earned at Ole Miss for incentives for in the playoffs. And so LSU is heavily rooting against Ole Miss in this playoffs. Heavily, heavily rooting against Ole Miss as they tried to fire their coach for cause because he wasn't a great coach. And then that didn't go over well at all. No. Yeah. Then everyone saw a Sharon Moore thing and everyone went, that's what with cause means. That's what they mean by with cause. Mm-hmm. That real, we're cut and dry. No one's fighting this one. We know that one is real cut and dry. But Matt, all that being said of where we are again, and I know you're hoping to be in a better place than we were today, but we do still have some positions of need. And we still do have targets in those positions of needs and guys that we're looking at and guys that are recruiting, that guys are in there. So if you want to go through some of these players that Texas is looking at right now, that maybe offensive line, running back positions, that maybe, you know, wide receiver, I know we've got a visit today. Some of the guys in the second, you know, on the defensive side of the ball, they are continuing to push for guys that are going to make an impact next season.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few names you could talk about. I'm kind of hesitant to talk about a couple of them because I don't even know if they're going to make it to campus or what's going to happen, but I guess I'll drop some of them. Jacarius Peak, all ACC offensive tackle from North Carolina State. He was supposed to take a visit to Texas A&M. Texas A&M just got a commitment from another right tackle, so I don't know if that's still going to happen or not. He was one of the best right tackles in the ACC. He's up for, you know, he's there. The Wisconsin offensive lineman is another one. Like I said earlier in the show, once Guarnera ended up back at Michigan, this guy popped in. He's a good player. He's really good in pass protection. His name's Joe Bruner. I think he's only allowed like one sack in his career or something like that at Wisconsin. So phenomenal pass protector. A little bit underwhelming in run blocking, but he's still solid in comparison. So those are a couple of offensive linemen. I believe Zion Williams is getting to campus here pretty soon, probably in the next half an hour, the defensive lineman from LSU. I believe he will not leave campus once he gets there, if you know what I mean. Relique Brown also scheduled to get to Austin today, this evening. I find it very hard to believe he will leave without being a part of the team. So those are a couple there. There's the edge rusher out of Oklahoma State, who is now talking about being, or who's taking a visit to Texas as well. Wendell Gregory, freshman, 12 tackles for loss, 4 sacks, 6'3", 255 pounds. Great replacement for Jaden Woods, who ended up going back to Florida and signing a new deal with them. young, developmental, talented edge rusher that can make a lot of noise. So there's a couple of guys there. Jonel Aguero, the Georgia former five-star defensive back, just entered the portal today. It has not been said whether or not Texas has interest in him or if he has interest in Texas, but his primary recruiter was none other than Will Muschamp. He is a natural fit for what Texas does at the star position and what they're going to be doing under Will Muschamp. It would allow you to have a elite secondary once again very quickly, especially with the return of Derek Williams and the signing of Bo Masco. You could still play Derek Williams at one safety. You could play Jelani McDonald at the other safety. You can move Grayson Littleton outside the corner, and you could play Jonel Aguero in the star position. And all of a sudden, you have a really, really freaking good secondary once again. Obviously, the linebackers are a big concern right now. I've talked about Cade Uolave from Cal. He entered the portal with a do not contact tag. You know what that means? That means he knows where he wants to go, and he's probably going to be very heavily pursued by Texas, just putting that out there. Allegro from Wisconsin, another guy. We talked about him a little bit yesterday. I believe it's between Texas and Ohio State with him. So when you're battling Ohio State for a guy, you know he's pretty damn good. So that's a couple of names there. I don't know that the jury is still out on Elijah Barnes or not. He says he plans to enter the portal. That doesn't mean he's entered the portal as of yet. Until he officially enters the portal, it is not over yet. And even if he does, you know, there's still that opportunity that he could come back a la Jaden Woods from Florida, who just did it, and Derek Williams, who just did it for Texas. Yes, God's gifts. Jordan Washington is apparently entering the portal as well. What positions am I forgetting? Vanderbilt, the wide receiver, Trey Washington, I think is his name.
Trey Richardson.
Sorry. He is taking a visit to Texas here in the near future. A little bit of an undersized, speedy guy, not the big X receiver that you're necessarily looking for in a Cam Coleman, but he would be a really, really good replacement for DeAndre Moore. Slot guy, very fast, very explosive, good hands, had a lot of big games this season. So that's another guy I would keep my eye out for. I'm not going to bring up the other running back's name because he hasn't entered the portal yet.
Yeah.
And he hasn't announced his intentions to enter the portal. So I'm going to leave that alone because I don't want to F anything up.
You don't jinx anything.
I don't want to jinx it, but it would be a really talented player, younger guy who is a great fit for what they're looking for. So that's another name to keep an eye on. And I'm sure that there's still some out there that haven't entered the portal that Texas is looking at as well. That's what I'm like. We're 4 days or 5 days into this thing, and Texas is still losing players to the portal. There are going to be other players that are lost to the portal from other 100%. Schools that Texas is going to be.
Yeah, and as you get somebody else may say, all right, that's my time to exit because you just got a number one instead of me, or you just got somebody that's going to compete, or you put someone around in my position and Texas looks at them. And I know you don't want to get anybody sloppy seconds, but at a certain point, you also go, well, that guy fits better in our system, and they made a mistake letting that guy go. The safety from Alabama or from Georgia is a perfect example. That he's a really, really good player, and that he's had a freshman play well this year. And they had to make a decision of which guy they wanted to pay. And they decided to pay the younger guy. But it wasn't so much a question of the guy's not really good player. It would be an upgrade. Now, I don't know if he's upgraded over Grayson Littleton, which we could see Grayson Littleton year two or three at the star, but it does allow Grayson Littleton to move, which then gives you a really high hope for what that secondary could be. Chris, if you asked about DeAndre Moore, there's a lot of wide receivers that are really good wide receivers that have not committed yet anywhere. And it feels like he's more in that pattern of he's met with some teams, but people are still trying to figure out where they are in the market with everybody to get the T's dotted or the I's dotted and the cross T's. It just feels like he's a little bit more in the, let's see if we can get a couple more dollars, see where everybody is. Some other people may be jumping out of the portal still. You have a couple other options, so take your time. Because if you just look at the top wide receivers, there's still, five, 10 top wide receivers in the portal right now.
Yeah. I feel like the wide receiver thing, like once you get outside of Cam Coleman right now, is kind of, you know, a dime a dozen. Like there's a bunch of them.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of wide receiver twos that could be wide receiver twos on a team.
Yeah. And DeAndre Moore is one of those. Richardson's one of those. You know, Eugene Wilson and Jace Brown were one of those. They both have now signed at LSU. And did they both sign at LSU? Or I can't remember where Eugene Wilson went.
Eugene Wilson's LSU, yeah.
They both went to LSU. So, you know, yeah. And LSU has a slot guy that entered the portal as well that could be an option at Texas. His name's escaping me right now, but he's a really good player. There's so many receivers out there that, like, once you get past the star power of Cam Coleman, it's like there's so many out there that you could get. So I wouldn't worry too much about that position. And Texas obviously does have a lot of talent there as well. So the ones that everybody are freaking out about are linebacker, offensive line, and running back. And I think Texas has plans at all those positions with a lot of players that either you haven't heard their name yet or it's very public who they're going after at this point.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, at the end of the day, Texas still has to try and put themselves in the best position and keep finding. They do have it's the level of concern that we keep talking about. We're not bringing back Jonte. I have a hunkering suspicion that we would not be doing that, but
there is a 0% chance that Jonte Cook comes back to Texas. 0%.
But, you know, Texas doesn't go into this. And, you know, that's what they talked about. They had staff that through the whole end of the season was just constantly scouting and looking at players and trying to figure out who might be in the portal and going in and getting a list ready of, all right, here's our 1 through 20. And so you may be on 3 or 4 right now or 5 even on some positions. But you still got a long list of guys that you do really like and would like to bring in. So I think that there's those guys. As for Randy, of like Danny Scudero, he's just a little undersized. He doesn't really fit completely the model of what Sark would want of a guy where Danny Scudero is really good if you use him a lot. But you don't know how well he would play if you're like you're getting 1 to 2 targets a game. And I think that's why you don't necessarily go after a guy who's a very high usage, really good being a high usage guy for a role like that. And that's, again, he'll find a place where he can play and he'll be really good where he goes. But just knowing Scudero in Austin would be a 1 to 2 target guy a game. And I don't know if that would be selling point for him to come in and be like, well, you're not going to be our number one. You're not going to be our number two. You could be a slot guy, I guess. But even at that, you're probably not going to be trying to get the ball a ton. So while we like you, I don't know how much you'd really want to spend and how much to go get a guy that would be filling in that 1 to 2.
Yeah. See, DeAndre Moore is a much better player than Danny Scudero. And I get that people see Danny Scudero's numbers from San Jose State and they're like, oh, wow, this guy's great. DeAndre Moore is faster, he's bigger, he's stronger, he's quicker. He's got, maybe he doesn't have as good of hands, but, you know, he's a much better overall football player, blocking downfield, all those things, than Danny Scudero. So if they're letting DeAndre Moore go, they're not going to replace him with a guy that's a worse player. So which is kind of really what I'm trying to tell everybody. If they're letting Jordan Washington and, you know, Nate Kibble and Danny Cruz and, you know, I still like Elijah Barnes a lot. I think he's going to be really good. But a lot of these guys that they're letting walk, DeAndre Moore, Parker Livingston, they're not letting them go because they're going to replace that. Like, oh, shoot, we lost him. Now we got to scramble to find someone. No, they're going to find better players, yeah, which I think that they're going to do at the majority of those positions. And you're not always going to hit 100% of your targets, obviously. Because if they had, then Texas would have Isaac Brown and Jaden Baugh, the two Michigan offensive linemen, Cam Coleman, all wrapped up with a nice little bow, plus, you know, Robert Woodyard. Yeah. And I think Texas probably would have Robert Woodyard right now if he had the academic academics to get into Texas, which he doesn't have.
Yeah.
So all and, those
and,
things.
And that one, too, wasn't even that good. It was like he doesn't have the credits, so he couldn't graduate at Texas, basically. So he'd be coming here, and he was just way too far away academically from being able to graduate. So it wasn't even a thing of like, because the original report made it seem like Texas was like, no, we're not going to help out the Texas football team by, you know, bending grades when every other school is going to do it. It was more of this dude didn't take the right classes. So we don't have any way we can get him a degree. And he wants to go somewhere where he can still get a degree with taking like two more classes. And that became an issue, was there was no way they could fudge a transcript enough to give him, you know, basically a degree at the end of the year. And so that became more of an issue from what I've read.
Another piece of the minutia that goes into the transfer portal. like we've been trying to say this whole time, it's not just dollars and cents.
No, there's a lot. There's a lot. And like God's gift says, I feel like Texas is lowballing these kids, and C.A. Anderson has been big that you can't be too heavy. Whoever gets Cam Coleman will show how desperate they are. There's a middle ground. If you don't want to spend money in NIL, that is cool. Texas cannot be that program because Texas would be a 500 team for, like, they wouldn't be a bowl team anymore. If you don't want to spend NIL, you're not a bowl team anymore. Like, everyone is spending money. Everyone. Every Power Four school is spending a lot of money. There's not one that's not. Now, some of them are not necessarily spending bukus, but I would say there's probably not a Power Four school spending under $15 to $20 million on football right now. And the ones that are the ones that aren't, are not competing at all. They're zero win teams in conference or one win teams in conference. So you can rebuild and do all that stuff. It's just not the world we live in anymore.
Yeah. Like I would assume that like Northwestern and Rutgers aren't spending a whole bunch of money.
They're still spending 10 to 15 mil, probably easy.
Well, if not more. Yes, but in comparison to the kinds of dollars that are getting thrown around in Austin and Columbus and, you know, College Station and Lubbock right now, it's not even comparable. And in terms of the Cam Coleman conversation, C. Anderson, I don't really buy that. I think that if Texas Tech lands Cam Coleman, it will be because they paid him like well above what everybody else was going to pay him. And he was like, well, I really can't pass this up. This is unbelievable money. Or he's going to go somewhere where he thinks that he's going to be developed really well for the NFL and he's going to have a really good chance of getting drafted in the first round, which will be Texas or potentially Alabama. I think if he makes his decision based on scheme fit and NFL and all that, it'll be between Texas and Alabama. I think if he makes it based on money, it'll be Texas A&M or Texas Tech.
Yeah, I can believe that. I think that's just fair. But and then guys, you also say about lowballing the guys. I don't think they're lowballing. The question is, do you have to overpay to be a national championship level team right now? That's the more the question I've been asking. Not that they're lowballing, because they're giving them real fair offers. It's not like they're not giving them real fair offers. You can't pay everybody $1 million. You have 100 scholarships. You can't give you have 22 starters. If you just flat balled every starter's getting $1 million, you're starting at 22. And it's just not sustainable. So you have to be able to figure it out in between those. And for Hair the Dog, I can tell you, what are the chances Sark thinks he already has the players he needs? Now, if you're saying players that he thinks he's going to get in the portal, maybe. If you're saying players already on the roster, 0%. Because we don't have an offensive line. So 0% right now.
I think probably have like two scholarship linebackers.
When you're talking on the roster, no, it's 0% he has them right now. But if he thinks he's got guys already locked up, then yeah, maybe he thinks he's got guys. Now that's risky.
Yeah. I mean, look, all right, Cubed, you're going to hear about all of these younger players renegotiating their deals. That doesn't mean that they're all going to walk. Elijah Barnes, like I said, just because he's saying that he's going to enter the portal or he intends to enter the portal, maybe he will, or maybe he won't. And maybe he will enter the portal and then he'll come back like Derek Williams did. Every time you hear that somebody's negotiating, it's not a alarm bells going off. Oh my God, we're going to lose this guy. Like they had negotiations with Trevor Guseme and Ryan Wingo and they locked them both up to new deals.
Yep.
that stuff happens all the time. It's not just about making good offers. It's about not wanting to get to be bent over a barrel. Like if the market value for a player where he is and where he's at in his career is, let's say, $500,000. If you come back and say, okay, we'll pay you market value. And then he comes back and goes, well, I really want 600,000. You go, okay, we'll pay 600,000. And then he comes back and he's like, well, actually, now that you've agreed to 600,000, I think I really want $1 million. You're going to say, no, we're not going to keep playing this game. If you give a mouse a cookie, he's going to want a glass of milk type mentality. Like, we're not going to keep going down this road. You are worth this to us. We can find a player who can be just as valuable to us for this amount of money. We've already talked to them. So no, take a hike, go find a new opportunity. We appreciate what you've done here, but we're not going to get strung up by our feet because you just decide you want to throw a bunch of money around. And that's kind of what's happening with some of these players right now.
Yeah. No. And all right. So, and Brandon, the 70% pay cuts, 70%, that's a fact. I don't know how you know that's a fact. I don't know how you know that. So I wouldn't,
yeah, if be
you
were very just, careful about what you read on message boards.
Yeah. Message boards are not real. Sometimes they are. But I don't know how you're getting that. That's a fact. I just don't know that. If you want to go show me the documentation and show me what they got played before and then that, then maybe. And then when we'll say for Texas receivers getting drafted and other schools having better, Ohio State, and they just lost their wide receivers coach. Tell me the coach who is currently coaching at those schools who has Hall of Famers, and I'll call you a liar because there's no one that has coached at any school long enough right now to have the plethora of Hall of Fame wide receivers. It's just the way it is. Sark has some guys in the NFL. Texas has some guys in the NFL. I get that. But you can't go, well, they had Michael Irvin at Miami. Mario Cristobal didn't. No one there did. Just because it's the same name on the T-shirt, nobody gives a damn. It's about player development. So, and look, if you want to say that Texas players are always bad in the NFL, that is your prerogative in your opinion. I don't know what team you think has all the best players in the NFL. It's kind of a crapshoot for everybody. It just is. Texas does have some good players. They're not always the positions you think. Texas has a really great record of defensive tackles in the NFL, pretty great record of DBs in the NFL. So if you just want to go off of running backs, we've had some really good running backs in the NFL as well. So Texas has had good players in the NFL. It's just not every position. Quarterback, definitely not. Like, definitely not. You're hoping Arch can trade that trend, because definitely not.
Yeah, so, I don't know what team you're a fan of, Gunter. I guess OU. Congratulations. You have three starting quarterbacks. I don't know that I would want to claim Spencer Rattler or what are we talking about here? Like, yeah, if you wanted me to, I could sit here and go down a list that also contains a bunch of really good Texas football players. Yeah. We're not playing that game.
We're not. And look, good. Congrats. Oklahoma also is a really good program. We're not.
Yeah. And half of those good players came from a completely different yes. program. Like, by they were
Bob
under
Stoops
Lincoln
was
Riley.
Amazing. Bob Stoops was amazing. And Lincoln Riley was a great quarterback coach. And Brent Venables is a great defensive coach. You'll have a great ledger with great defensive players.
Okay, great.
But I'll say this. Hey, Jalen Hurts and Baker Mayfield, cool. Go to USC. Because those coaches ain't at Oklahoma anymore. So they have nothing to do with your program anymore in recruiting. Just FYI. Absolutely nothing. Ricky Williams has nothing to do because Bucky Godbolt is on Texas Sports Unfiltered. He ain't the running backs coach for us anymore.
Yeah, you want to be a great running back in the NFL, come work for Texas Sports Unfiltered because Bucky will put you there.
There you go. All right, I'll tell you what. Let's take a first break. We'll let Gunner talk himself out about how Oklahoma is such a better program and everything else, even though they can't win a playoff game anymore.
They can't score on Texas.
They can't score on Texas. All of those things. But what we'll do is we'll take a break. We'll come back. I'm going to get into a little bit more Texas basketball. Because, Jesse, I think they'll be okay. I think they'll be able to field a roster. Something tells me. But, okay, Brandon. If they told Bro Barnes to take a 70% cut, then that's not great. But I but still would want to see it in writing, just personally. I don't trust everybody in chat, but that's just me. I don't want to report things that aren't, I don't have validated. So you can't get mad at me for that. We're going to take a break, though. And we're going to come back. We're going to talk some Texas men's basketball. We'll keep the conversation going hour two about the portal, as always, because Texas football is what we talked about the most. Do want to get into some NFL talk, though, as well as we are getting into playoff time in the NFL. So we'll get into all of that and much, much more here on Open Gym on Texas Sports Unfiltered.
At Sleep Cycle Center, we can treat your sleep apnea in various ways. My story starts 15 years ago with the loss of my father to undiagnosed, untreated sleep apnea. And this is a very preventable disease, and treatment options are various. Millions of people across America have sleep apnea, and they fail to realize the early warning signs. Fatigue, daytime sleepiness, and snoring are the most common signs. We'll find the best solution using advanced technology, oral and epigenetic appliances, or CPAP. We offer weight loss, oral surgery, and laser treatments. Schedule your appointment today and get your sleep evaluation.
If you're looking to remodel a kitchen, renovate your bathroom, or maybe add some new life to your outdoor space, reach out to our friends at McCall Custom Homes. They are custom home builders and renovators here in Central Texas, and they've been doing it in Central Texas for more than 40 years. It's a father-son team with a ton of experience, and all of that experience is here in the Austin area. So they know what it takes to turn an Austin area home into something truly, truly special. Right now, our friends at McCall Custom Homes are offering free estimates to TSU listeners so they can come out to your place, hear your vision, they can tell you what they can do, and then you can go from there. Don't just take my word for it. Check out their website, McCallCustomHomesATX.com. Look at the gallery of jobs they've done over the last four decades. And then when you're ready, again, reach out to them and they will come to you. McCallCustomHomesATX.com, or you can call or text Mike McCall directly at 512-633-9580. It's McCall Custom Homes. We build value into your home.
Hi, this is Tom McKay, owner of Audiovisual Consultations, and all of us at Audiovisual would like to wish you and your family a happy holiday season. This time of year can get a little hectic, so we want to remind you to relax, enjoy the season with your family and friends, and give us a call at 512-255-8678 for all of your home entertainment needs. This is my favorite time of the year. I love the holidays, the music, the decorations, the presents, the whole darn thing. So this year I'm asking all you listeners to help make this a special holiday for everyone. Smiles are contagious and free, so let's give them away like the government gives away your money. Let's high-five strangers on the street, hold the door for people behind us, tip your servers more than they've ever been tipped before. Give to a charity, or hell, give to a bunch of charities. If someone does a good job, tell them they did a good job. Pat someone on the butt. Sing in public places just because it feels good. And as always, hug your kids until they beg you to stop. Watch some games with your friends and make love to your wife or your husband. I know there's some women listening too. You can still give us a call at 512-255-8678 if you'd like to get some cool electronics, but more importantly, have a great holiday season and a fucking awesome next year.